that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around again to Saturday Morning Coffee with the Wranglers. And we welcome you here this morning, this June 2nd, 2018. And let's bring them in on. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we, of course, say good morning to you, the Remnant. We thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this morning. It's a crisp and cool, I got to tell you, all our Texas buddies down there. It's a tough 40 degrees here this morning and damp. Been having rain, and boy, there's water everywhere. But hey, we're going to get up to 69 degrees today, and I think a high for the week is 86, maybe on Thursday. But beautiful day, blue skies, and John, you said it was a little cool down there as well, down in Colorado.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, probably 50, maybe 45, 50.
So, but. Kind of, I got to tell you, a little cool weather for June, even for here. But I think God knows what He's doing, and the wheels He's put in place. Well, we're certainly not going to give any credit to Mother Nature, because we don't hold to that, and we know that it's our Heavenly Father that sends this good weather our way. We'll have the phone lines open in a little bit, and I'm sure we've got several topics to cover. But John, would you open us up in prayer first?
Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for all of our many blessings. We ask for your continued blessings and protection. Father, guide and direct our thoughts this morning. Give us wisdom and understanding as to what it is that
you want us to bring to your people, to remnant. Father, convict your people if there's something that the Holy Spirit's revealed to them that's
beneficial
to your people. Father, we do pray, give us
our daily bread,
Lord.
Give us that word each morning of what you want us to do, Lord. We say, here we are. Use us, Lord. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do?
Father, forgive us
for the fact that it took so long to come to that place in our lives where
we realized
that the most important thing that we could do is to share the gospel, to fulfill the Great Commission, to
tell the world about
Jesus, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior.
There are many small g gods in this world. There's only one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's the God that we serve, the living, true God. And that God has made many promises for his people. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 15 are all the wonderful, marvelous, awesome blessings that he's promised for his people. If we do but a few things, keep his laws, his statutes.
On your phone's cutting in and out so bad that we can't even hardly hear you on the radio at all.
Huh.
It sounds like it might be it might actually be your phone cutting in and out instead on the speaker or something. I don't know if you're moving around, moving the phone away from your mouth or not, but it's just right now bad enough where it's just not even audible on radio.
All right, why don't you go ahead and pray, and I'll see if I can get a better location.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne and, Father, before your people. And we ask for your blessing upon this radio program this morning. We ask that you tend to your people, Father, as we cry out to you, Father, for you to speak louder and bolder to us, Father. We pray that your people continue to heed that call and to listen to your voice and to listen to what you're telling your people to do, Father. We pray, Father, that you just allow people to come to that place where they say, here I am, Lord, use me. We pray, Father, for you to bless our hands in the labors that we do. We pray that you tend to the needs of your sheep, Father. We know that the needs of the sheep are many and in all different ways, shapes, and forms, and we ask for you to tend to those needs, Father. We pray that we can be a blessing to you and be pleasing in your sight, that you shine your face down upon us and smile at us, Father, as we smile at the future. In Jesus Christ's holy name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, we do again, Remnant. Thank you for joining us. We have the phone lines open this morning. Make sure the button's pushed there. Yes, 307-745-5913. If you'd like to call in, if you have a question or a comment, lots going on. And, John, you having any luck down there, brother?
Is that any better?
Oh, that sounds
that's
great.
A lot better.
That sounds okay. Great. So, well, again,
I was outside kind of trying to take in the majesty of our good Lord and Savior.
Yeah, it is a beautiful morning this morning, and we have had excellent weather. A little different. If you go down to New Mexico, they are already into it, having down outside of Taos and Cimarron, got a 16,000-acre raging forest fire. It looks like the town of Cimarron is being evacuated, about 1,100 people and about 300 homes. And thought it was nice on the Reuters article, or is that how you say that? Reuters, news article.
Reuters, yeah.
Reuters, okay. And but the village counselor asking for prayer says, continue to pray for our community. Said the fire's already burned 14 outbuildings by near a Boy Scout ranch. Imagine that. And but it's 0% contained, doubled in size in the last couple days, and looking to just, if it continues on, might wipe out the little town of Cimarron. And so not everybody's having that weather. We encourage you to keep those that are his in your prayers as we get into, you know, a lot of places have got into triple digits and got into some big heat. And the drought that we're seeing in the Southwest, I think we're going to be seeing more of these fires this summer.
Yeah, unfortunately, with the path that the Boy Scouts of America has been on, I wouldn't be surprised if God burns them all down, to be honest with you.
Yep, amen to that. Amen to that. You know, we kind of talked about that a little bit a while back, and our brother Ralph, you know, has been a scout leader for years. And as he was, we were texting back and forth. He was traveling last weekend, but he said, you know, girls and women have been in the Scouts for years. The different programs the Scouts have, explorers and Sea Scouts and instructors and things like that, that girls have been involved in the Scouts for years. But, of course, that's what the headlines have been. Oh, we've got to just be gender neutral. And that's what the media's put out, but it's just a lie. The enemy cannot stand anything that's good and right and wholesome. And John, as you mentioned, the scout pledge, that, you know, to do good, to do my duty, to remain morally straight,
live a moral life.
Yeah, and absolutely. Live a moral life. And the enemy cannot.
That's the part they can't stand.
That's right. They can't stand it. And if you look. They have had to do everything they can to bring the filth in, to just open the garbage cans and pour it in on the Scouts. Just this past week, more filth that comes out from the media, the language that they use. They have to do it. They have to push the envelope and push and push and push and use language that, I think 50 years ago was not even in the consciousness of this country. It wasn't. You might see it in some filthy pornographic magazine, but the language that is just put out in prime time today, whether it's the news or these so-called, I don't even know what they call them, Samantha Bee or whatever, these talk shows, it is what can we get away with now? They promote and are continuing to promoting the desecration of our society, of our language, of the way we think.
Even the scum, you know, the worst of the scum that call themselves Republican or the right, even they refrain from attacking the children of different presidents, including the abomination. I mean, there was all kinds of things that could have been brought up and said about Abomination's children, but anyways, with them nothing's off limits, and anything to try to disparage President Trump or his family or discredit them or demoralize them is on the table. And
that's right,
because just as the protocol said, that they've taken over the media, they've taken over the schools, and here recently, probably in the last 10 to 20 years, probably sooner before that even. Some people have a lot more knowledge than I do, but they've obviously infiltrated the churches. In fact, I'm working on an article for a newsletter article about exactly that, and how it was the Antichrist left that, the filthy lucre is, God says it's the root of all evil, the love of money, and there's too many that are in those positions of authority that have hoarded themselves. They've made deals with the devil, and sure, they may have that lucrative lifestyle here on this earth. They may be living high on the hog, so to speak. I was just reading about a preacher in Louisiana, big-time TV evangelist or whatever, that said the Lord told him he needed a new jet, $56 million jet. And he's pretty much, if you listen, I listened to a little bit of it because it was part of the article that I read, and it was a video clip, and he ain't preaching about Jesus. He ain't preaching about God. All he's doing is begging for money. You know, the sad thing is those people, they get more money than they know what to do with. But the ones who try to preach the truth, the ones who try to spread the gospel and fulfill the Great Commission, those are the ones that typically struggle. But that's okay, because God's in control.
Amen.
And he'll decide what's going to happen.
Amen. You know, one of the quotes that came out, that's that prosperity preacher I think you're talking about. And he comes out and says, now if Jesus were physically on the earth today, he wouldn't be riding a donkey. And see, that should let you know, folks, if you've ever looked in the Bible, that and the word warns us that these things would come. You know, Galatians 1:6 says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. And this filth that these people that you're talking about, John, put out, that is what it is. It is a different gospel. It truly is. They got a picture of him here in this news article. He's pointing to the three jets he already has. Figure that one out. And saying, oh, he needs a fourth one. We need a fourth one.
Well, he doesn't want to have to stop to refuel.
Yeah.
I read the article. It's kind of comical.
It is.
The whole reason he needs this new state-of-the-art jet is so that he doesn't have to refuel when he travels around the world and pay exorbitant jet fuel prices. And it's like, really?
Yeah. Man, he's not the first one. But, you know, he who sits in the heavens laughs. I think God does. He looks at this, and you know, the sheep, well, when they don't have the shepherd, they are prey for the wolves. They truly are. And when the sheep have run away from the shepherd, and that's truly what has happened. You know, our last thing on this that I got, our Bible reading today is Acts. I think it's Acts 6 and 7, and Acts 6. The choosing of the seven, and then Acts 7 is the story that Stephen gives, and he gives the history of our people, and just there's one verse here at the end of Acts 6 that I think applies to this, and this is they're talking about what the scribes and the Pharisees did. It says they put forward false witnesses who said, this man, meaning Stephen, incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Nazarene, Jesus, will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us. And see, they were holding to those customs, those traditions of man. This is the way we always did it. This is how Grandpa did it. This is how Grandma did it. How many times have we heard this? This is what how my family, my wife's family's done this. Been, you know, this is how they go to church. This is where they go to church. And the people today have become that the scribes and Pharisees in holding to those traditions. I encourage you, read Acts 7, and you'll see Stephen's descent. And at the end, toward the end of it, in verse 53, he says, you who received the law as ordained by angels, and yet did not keep it. And I think that that speaks to our people, to the people in this land today. You people that have been given the opportunity to understand the law. Yes, we're saved by grace, but we still have the law to understand the story and the history of who we are, how this country was founded. Yeah, who cares?
Interesting.
And just throw it away.
It's interesting that you see, I just heard recently, in fact, it was last night, that there was a church here that was pretty prominent. Even just a couple of years ago, they probably had 3,000 people, and it was called The Vineyard. And I heard that there's a whole bunch of layoffs going on and things like that because the church has been reduced to maybe 500 members. But there was also one of the brothers sent me an article that I thought was real interesting. I wish I had it with me so I could share some of the details. But the gist of it was that men who have high testosterone levels are not going to church in droves. So there's a pattern that's established of the men who still haven't been neutered by either the church or their wives, who have testosterone, who have the wherewithal to see that what's going on in most of these churches is nothing but false doctrine, and I thought that was interesting.
I know one church to where some men with testosterone go.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Jason? What's going on?
Well, I've seen a lot of stuff in the world this week. I mean, this week, and it's just, you know, it's just really times are changing. You know, this week, one of the headlines was a congressional candidate in Virginia admits he's a pedophile. And it goes on, Nathan Larson, 37-year-old accountant from Charlottesville, Virginia, is running for Congress as an independent candidate in his native state. He is also a pedophile, as he admitted to the Huffington Post on Thursday, who has bragged in websites about raping his late ex-wife. In a phone call, he confirmed that to several websites that that served as gathering places for pedophiles and violence-minded people like himself. And then it goes on and on and on. And it's like, you know, you see people like that, it was like, this is a shocking story to me. I mean, it shocked me. And it's like, how can somebody even run and you know, get out there and admit that? But that just, I mean, that tells you that you know, that's where we're at in people's minds. And it's becoming, you know, this is just one of the steps. You know, it's like yes, you said earlier, they're taking control of the media. They're taking control of the news. They gravitate towards positions of power like this. And there's a lot of pedophiles and sick perverts, rapists, queers, homosexuals, whatever, that are going to back this guy just because he is a pervert. You know, I saw the same thing happen on a different note earlier this week. You know, there was a panhandler sitting downtown in Fort Collins, and you know, it said Army vet on the top of his thing, and reading the signs. I like to read the signs, see what they put on there. Sometimes they're kind of comical, and then it went into God is a piece of, you can fill in the blanks. Wow. I hate God and I hate Christians. And he's standing there, and I went around the block because I wanted to make sure, I wanted to read it, and I was going to try to get a picture of it. And I go around the block, and I'm coming back, and people are handing him money left and right. People are handing him money left and right just because of that. And it was just like, I mean, you know, talk about a sad. You know, I mean, it was saddening. It was heart-wrenching. You know, I mean, it's like you see people supporting that. We are to that point.
Where was that at?
That was in Fort Collins. Well,
wow.
Old Town, Fort Collins, yeah. And you know, it's but people will support somebody for standing against Christianity, and it's not that many years ago that wouldn't have been tolerated. They would have been run out of town.
Yes. Well, they wouldn't have had the gall to do that. They wouldn't have thought about doing that.
Wasn't that many years ago when that congressman would have disappeared.
Exactly.
I mean, that's what we need, is that Melchizedek priesthood brought back in, and it will be at the proper time. But,
yeah.
But you know, and I think it's time that, you know, I mean, it's you know, you talk about, we say it often, you know, we've got plenty of things to pray for and plenty of things to pray against, and I mean, no, there's a perfect target. It's like, what more, you know, of a target is that? You know, I mean, and you know, I encourage people when they see stuff like that. I know that's what I did with, you know, I seeing this guy in Fort Collins. You know, I mean, you know, you get through the anger and the rage, and then you know, I prayed against him. You know, and then you know, tried to take action. I went online and looked up and said, what are, you know, how can you stop some of these panhandlers? I mean, it's like they can go pretty much under the city ordinances they can go anywhere at any time. But they did have some rules in there. One of the rules was they are not allowed to use obscenities. And so I looked up what do they consider an obscenity? Well, they really wouldn't give you any definitions on it. So I called the police department and said, hey, this guy's being obscene. He's down here, you know, and, you know, he needs to be removed. And I don't know if anything came of it. They said that they were going to send somebody down there and check it out. So, you know, I mean, but sometimes it takes so little to oppose them, you know, and you know, Christians are just, in general, they are, you know, pacifist to a degree. Oh, well, we, you know, we just need to pray for him. Well, you know, I pray for him in a different way that a lot of people would pray for him.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's always good to cover your bases, though. I mean, unless you know he's a son of hell, which you pretty much proclaim. But, to, you know, if it is possible, Lord, bring him to repentance, unless they're, you know, one of the...
Absolutely. If he can, then do it. If he can't, look down, bring it before the throne of the Most High and say, here he is, Lord. He's doing.
That's right. You know, it reminds me, you know, we think about the story of David and Goliath. That was the prayer that David had for Goliath. Was, you know, hey, this, you know, you come and you, and Goliath was coming and cursing the name of God. And, you know, God will put up that for a little bit, but he won't put up with it when there's a David there. He will strengthen that David just like he did then. And let his power and his might show. And like you mentioned about that Melchizedek priesthood, that I think we're seeing some of that. It has to start in the minds and in the hearts of the people, and then in the prayers of the people. The prayers have to change. And they have. You know, Pastor Peter's taught us that. I know that when we, you know, Jason, when you bring things like this up, I know that it encourages the people out there. But that's where it's got to start. It's got to start with the prayers. It's got to be a change of heart for the people to have a heart like David, who had a heart for God in seeing this evil and coming against it. That the filth that is out there, that line has to be drawn.
Can't have that kind of power until you have the obedience too. You have to be willing to hear ye the Lord. I think
absolutely.
That Hear Ye the Lord series is, you know, if you look at the progression of the different messages that we were led to bring in Branson, you know, It Is Time, that was several years ago, and Tear Down the High Places. Well, you have to tear down those high places in your life before you come to that place where you can serve the Lord. And then we had the Solemn Assembly, and that Solemn Assembly, I believe, had an effect on the election, presidential election. And then, you know, for years it's been God Save America again. Well, we're still there. You know, God's given us a second chance. He's given us a reprieve, if you will. But it's not over by a long shot. And the enemy is planning to pull out all the stops this November to try to take the House back to be able to impeach the president. And my prayer is that, unlike so many times in the past, that his people who are called by his name don't fall asleep as the watchman over the House of Israel, that we continue on in this crusade to restore the true JERUSALEM. But it's not going to happen unless we take the battle seriously, and it's a spiritual battle more than anything. I mean, if you read the Old Testament, you can see over and over that every time Israel tried to do anything on their own, they were defeated and they were destroyed, annihilated. But as soon as they had the blessing of the Lord, where the Lord said, I give them into your hand for destruction, every single time, victory. So we got to get to the point where we hear the Lord. And we may hear the Lord that, you know, Jason, you may hear the Lord that said, you know what, Jason, there's somebody down there that's defaming my name. And you could go down there and you can warn him. And you can say, you know, the Lord told me to warn you that you better repent and turn from your wicked ways, or you'll be destroyed. And those things are going to happen when we get to that place of obedience, where we love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, where we're willing to put aside our own selfish wills, wants, and desires. Amen. Not our needs, but our selfish wills, wants, and desires. And we truly mean what we say.
Yes.
We don't only talk the talk, we walk the walk. And we say, Lord, here we are, use us. What is it thou wouldest have thy servant do? But then again, you look at the fulfillment of Scripture when you talk about what you saw this week, Jason, and the tares. You know, God promised us that in the last days the tares would become bold and brazen. Now, you tell me, as far as I know, being a pedophile is against the law.
Yes.
And it's punishable. It's a punishable crime.
Yes.
So how is it possible that this son of a bitch can run with that kind of truth that he proclaims?
Well, it's the lawlessness. You know, the FCC has laws as well, and on broadcast TV, on certain language that can't be used. But it's a lawless society today. And like this Samantha Bee this last week, and how many of the talk show hosts have used this filthy language, they flaunt their lawlessness. And like you said earlier, how would it have been if someone would have spoken against President Obama's family or, you know, President Clinton's family when they were in office? And it's just, see, it's a method, you know, where you're civil about this. And you don't talk about those people's families. But these people today are not civil. They're lawless. They say whatever they want. They do the will of their father, who is the devil, who is a liar from the beginning, who came to steal, kill, and destroy, and still does. And they are still stealing and killing and destroying the goodness that this country was founded on. And that's what they do. They have to. They are destroyers. We remember our pastor taught on that there's two types of people. There's builders, and that's where we come from, the people that built this country, that continue to want to build it. And then there's the destroyers, those that just steal, kill, and destroy. And that line is being drawn. You know, in Hawaii, we've seen this volcano erupting in Hawaii. Haven't seen it in my lifetime. You know, the only other real devastating volcano that I've seen was Mount St. Helens. And we saw that back in the early 80s. But this volcano out in Hawaii, spitting lava, destroying homes, over 80 homes destroyed, mandatory evacuations now for areas there where the lava is going. But the Democratic governor of Hawaii signed a bill banning professional counselors from helping struggling youth resist homosexual feelings. This is just yesterday. Sexual orientation is not an illness to be cured, Governor David Ige claimed during the signing. We accept you and love you just the way you are. And efforts to change homosexual youth, he says, absolutely have no place in our beautiful islands. You know, and you're right. The prayer can be, Lord, if this governor can repent, let him repent. But Lord, he's flaunting you. He's cursing you. He is embracing sin. He is practicing sin, as the word puts it, and embracing those that do. And we don't have to judge. We don't judge him, but the Word of God judges him. You know, that one of the most controversial booklets that the pastor ever put out was the warning. Death penalty for homosexuals. But the whole title is warning. Death penalty for homosexuals as prescribed in the Bible. It was just like you're saying, John. It was a warning. That's what that booklet is. Made it the 48 Hours and Newsweek and those type things. But it's a warning because the Word of God is true. And those that, you know, even Jesus said, you who, what did he say to you who practice lawlessness? Oh, I forgive you. Everything's fine. No. Because he had already offered that, and they continued to practice lawlessness like an Olympian practicing for whatever, running or high jump. You know, it's not that they do it once; they practice. You know, those that make it to the Olympics, they practice, they practice, they practice, and that's what Jesus was saying. You who practice lawlessness, you that pass laws promoting this. That's who he was talking to.
That's a good.
And it is, you know, the Word of God is true, and they will. One, they don't enter the kingdom, and you know that place of weeping and gnashing of teeth and whatever it is in your mind, that place is not a good place. As Pastor used to put it, it's a hell of a place, a place apart from Christ for those who practice lawlessness. You know this. Prosperity preacher, that's what he's got looking forward to him. He's getting his now. And these these filthy faggots, these that are lawless, hey, that sin may be pleasurable now for a season, at least to you. It's filthy and disgusting. But the time is coming. And folks, you know, take a look and see. You see Hawaii, the tourism has tanked. It has bottomed out. The tourism because of this. They're evacuating it. They've called for evacuations for the island, but nobody's doing it.
Yeah, that's a good interlude to a story that I looked at here last night. It says, Southern Poverty Law Center's sinister plan has backfired spectacularly. And if you've been around as a member of the body for any period of time, you'll know that the Southern Poverty Law Center came hard against Pastor Peters. It was probably around the time of the death penalty for homosexuals as prescribed in the Bible. And I think it's interesting because, you know, this new president isn't perfect by any means. As far as I'm concerned, he's not a saint. He's a warrior, but things are better, and you can't deny that. And the fact that this Southern Poverty Law Center was successful in removing George Moore, I mean, not George Moore, but what was it?
Judge Roy Moore
from the bench in Alabama twice. I mean, they removed him once, and the people voted him back in, and then they removed him again, and the people voted him back in, and then, you know, he ran for Senate, and they pulled out, you know, all the stops to try to stop that. But I think it's interesting that there's another judge who has taken a stand against same-sex marriage, and Tom Parker is his name, and lawsuit was brought against him by the Southern Poverty Law Center. Well, just recently, I think it was the Supreme Court of Alabama that ruled that he had every right to express freedom of speech and to speak against the things that he was convicted to speak against. And it's been a devastating blow to the Southern Poverty Law Center. The fact that Pastor Peters revealed a lot of things that about the Southern Poverty Law Center, and especially Morris Dees, and how he basically was, I believe, convicted of pedophilia at some point. And wasn't that true, Jason?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Pedophile and a queer.
Yep. So there's some good things that are happening, but I think the biggest, most important thing that's happening in my life this weekend is my oldest son, Luke's, just turned 20 years old, and that means that as long as he's willing and understands and willing to die to his old life and be born again of the water spirit, then I'm going to baptize him. And there's also another 78-year-old man that I've been talking to about baptism for a couple years, and he's wanting to be baptized as well, and then as well as possibly a couple of his grandchildren that I've been speaking to for years about. So praise Jesus. And I was actually just going to spend a few minutes and let's go over some of the baptism scriptures for those who may not know all of them. Obviously, most of us know Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And 1 Peter 3:21 says, "And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but the appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Mark 16:16 says, "He who has believed and been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from the evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Galatians 3:27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." That was Romans 6:3-5. Acts 8:36-38 says, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, and Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. John 3:23 says, "And John also was baptized in Enon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they were coming and we're being baptized.
Hey, John, if I can make a comment there, John, isn't it interesting when Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch that you know, the churches today go absolutely against that. You know, they, because he said, "Do you believe?" You know, he asked him, "What prevents me?" And now Philip asked him, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And he said, "I believe." And he didn't leave
that's
it there.
First step.
Right. Yep. He didn't leave it there. And so why that is not just the mainstream the main scripture for churches to tell the people, see how this happened? And so this is what we do. Do you believe? Yes. Then here's water. Let's get baptized. I mean, it's as simple as that. It really is. It's the that's part of the simplicity of the gospel. Thank God that our pastor was able to push and promote and drive that into our hard-headed heads and into our stiff-necked necks. That simple Bible truth that the world, Christian world, the so-called Christian world rejects. Anyway, sorry, I didn't want to interrupt
ask.
You.
Yeah, that's not when they ask when they do an altar call. They ask, do you want to ask Jesus Christ into your heart? Well, I got news for them. If they would be saying, well, do you confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, there would be a lot more power. Anyways, Acts 22:16 says, "And now, why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." Acts 8:12. "But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women alike." Ephesians 4:4-6. "There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." And this is, what I'm reading is a little tract we did, I think, in 2013 about baptism, and it's available for free if you'd like to write in or call and ask for it. But it's a good way to plant a seed. Like I emailed this out to all the men who are part of the Wednesday morning prayer breakfast that I attend, and several of them have taken heart and heeded the warning and been baptized properly. But John 3:1-7 says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' And Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God.' 1 Peter 1:23 says, 'Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God.' Romans 6:4, 'We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life.' Matthew 3:13-17 says, 'Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. And this is also part of the track. It says, I believe that Jesus Christ is and was the Son of God and King of Kings as proof of your belief. Confess that aloud. Now, this is basically the procedure if you're going to baptize someone. And if you are a baptized believer, you've repented, you've died to your old life, you've been born again of the water and spirit, you've been clothed with Christ, then you can also baptize others. Repent of your sins, meaning surrender your life to the King. Do His will over your will. Try to stop doing wrong and start doing right. To die to your old way of life. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. I always say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, yes, for the remission of your sins. It says, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Baptism, the Greek word baptizo, means to immerse fully or burial in water. And it's where you contact the shed blood of Jesus Christ that washes away sin, Acts 22:16. Then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is the helper, that helps you when you try. Prior to being baptized, confess out loud your belief in Him. See Romans 10:9. And when you do all of the above, then you're born again of the water and the Spirit, John 3:5, and become a member of His corporate body, which is the church, 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. So in summary, repent, die to your old life, go into the watery grave of baptism, be buried with Christ. This is where you contact the blood. Come up out of the water, white as snow, and all of your sins having been forgiven, born again of the water and the Spirit, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and your name will be entered into the Lamb's Book of Life. So many positives and no negatives to be obedient to this call. I have fulfilled my commitment to tell you the truth. The decision is yours. This is basically the email that I sent to those men. But then I also say that this is the warning. These are the scriptures I read before baptizing anyone, making absolutely sure that they realize the significance of what they are about to do, entering into a covenant with God. And if they do not take this commitment seriously and do not only talk the talk, but they also walk the walk, they are better off not doing it, as they will incur stricter judgment on this earth. Hebrews 6:4-6. For in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put Him to open shame. 2 Peter 2:20-22. For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and are overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better off for them to have known the way, to not have known the way of righteousness, than having known it and turned away from the holy commandment handed on to them. It has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to its own vomit, and a sow, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. And the last one is Hebrews 10:26-29. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or more witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace?
Amen.
Amen. Like I said, that's a track that we put together back in 2013, and it's available. We can send it to you in a PDF form that you can print out and send out 1,000 of them if that's what you want to do. But this is really the gist of the Word. This is what Scriptures for America was founded on, the Amen. Truth, one, the Israel truth, but even more important than that is the truth of salvation, the truth that's been taken from the world, and if you ask me, it was the Catholic Church that changed baptism from immersion to sprinkling under the guise of it being more convenient. And as the sheep, you know, they don't call us dumb goyim for no reason. But also the churches have been infiltrated, and these things have been stolen from us. Pastor Peters showed us many a time that Brother Word could have been a better preacher than Billy Sunday, but in order to do that, he would have to, one, not preach about baptism, and two, not preach about tithing. And the enemy knows that baptism takes us out of the realm of the world and puts us into the realm, the heavenly realm of Jesus Christ. And they know that God's word is true, and it's the only place in the Bible that he says, test me. And they don't want his people to be blessed, so they don't teach about tithing. So, praise the Lord. I'm really looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to it for quite some time. My oldest son is 20 years old, and he's becoming a man, and he is going to make that covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ to put aside his own selfish wills, wants, and desires, and to serve the Lord. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. And folks, like John said, we've got that.
Steal the show, but
no. I think that's great. That's the people need to hear that. They do. You know, we get calls and emails and letters here at the office with questions that answers. It truly is. We send those baptism tracts out, those baptism notes and pamphlets. And folks, if you've got questions about that, or you know somebody that does, then by all means, contact us. You can write to us at Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. And you can also send us an email. Our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. Again, that's preacher@sfaw.org. You can also send an email through the website, scripturesforamerica.org. We have many people that listen in on the live streaming there, and will join us for church tomorrow for the live streaming. There's also a contact and a place to do that there. And, of course, the cart is up there where you can you can order that as well as many other things. This past week, we just got our updated 2018 catalog printed and mailed out to those that had requests for it. If you'd like that new updated 2018 Scriptures for America catalog, you can contact us, and we'll be glad to send it out to you. And like you said, John, we can also send that baptism tract, as well as many that we have, in a PDF, especially some of these smaller ones, that if you want to print out, or if you want to send it, forward it out in an email, like John has done, then we do all we can to make those things available. Don't have them all that way, but certainly this baptism tract is available if you'd like to do that.
Well, we have three of them. How to Become a Christian, Don't Miss Out, and Acts 2:38. So
yes.
There's three excellent tracts that Pastor Peters wrote regarding immersion baptism and how to really become a Christian biblically, not as the world would say that you just invite Jesus Christ into your heart. I mean, we know that the first step is to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that's why we do ask for that confession before we will baptize someone. But I think it's important also to share those warning scriptures with people. There's too many people who in the past, I think, have just been baptized because, well, I just turned 20, or they've just been baptized because they think it's the thing to do. And
yes.
What without repentance, it means nothing.
Yes.
And repentance means you're willing to die to your old life. That means you're willing to put aside your, you know, your own selfish wills, wants, and desires. And there's too many people that really are wet behind the ears, but they really haven't been immersed in the water and cleansed, and because of not coming to that place of repentance. So if you're one of those who has been baptized and you didn't understand what you were doing, or you didn't understand that repentance was probably one of the biggest parts of that baptism, then you probably should be baptized again if you're willing to enter into that covenant, if you're willing to make that commitment.
That's right. That's right, if you'll make those choices. Well, guys, we're about out of time. We want to make sure we invite the remnant to church. You can come to church with us tomorrow. I had a phone call this week. Got a brother up in Canada that's going to visit this summer. Going to come out and visit with us in person at church. And like we said, we sure welcome you there. Just it's awful nice if you let us know. And maybe we'll get a fellowship dinner going. You never know. But if you are going to visit us in person, we do like you to let us know so we can expect you. And but you don't have to drive all the way out to Colorado or fly to Colorado to join us. You can go to the website tomorrow morning starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, and 10:30 Eastern. And that's kind of early on the West Coast, starting at 7:30 out there. But you can join us there for a review of the news, a timeless pulpit truths that'll be going out. John's going to have a great live message for you. We'll have communion, some good Holy Spirit-inspired music that will draw you closer to God. And so we invite you to come there. And you can join us. You can obey the commandment of not forsaking the assembly. And you can do it if you have just the internet and your computer. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. And right there on the home page in the upper left-hand corner, you can click on the live video stream starting at those times. And you can join us for church. And of course, we'll have communion, that time for us to kind of back away from the world and to take our thoughts captive and to remember what our Lord and Savior did for you and for me over 2,000 years ago. That was part of of God's master plan, but what Jesus Christ did. And we are to remember. And we'll do that
quite
tomorrow.
Quite a few people have been contacting us too regarding those that would typically come to Branson. They're planning on coming out maybe for a weekend and spend a Sunday with the body, with the remnant, and that's a blessing. And
yes,
just thinking the other day, I think part of the reason that Branson was canceled this year was because this series of Hear Ye the Lord was so important to get out to our people, and it takes a lot of work to prepare for Branson, and maybe it could have been a series of messages for Branson, but I don't think it could have evolved into the obviously anything's possible, but the series that it was. And Lord willing, I think maybe one more than tomorrow. That message got a little long, and I may have to turn it into two messages, but it's pretty exciting to me the things that the Lord's revealing.
Amen.
So yeah, we just encourage you to join us. I don't take any of the credit. I give Lord Jesus Christ all the credit, the Holy Spirit all the credit. But you know, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And if you're willing, the Lord wants you in His army and He wants you to serve. And that's why we're a remnant. You know, that's why we're scattered around the world. But each one of us is to pick up our cross and to follow Him. And that's our desire, is to spread the gospel throughout the nation and throughout the world.
Amen. Amen. Well, guys, with that, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, and hey, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Rolling, rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over Snake High. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever.